Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 368, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence bless. Psalter 368, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
Scripture reading for this evening will be of Psalm 65, but before that, read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the othermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the riches thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy path drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Thus far.
Tonight we also hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Grace Blumert, who will become 70 years old, and Ben and William Booter, their newborn baby, is in the hospital with an infection. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing upon our gathering. Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou who art the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, unto thee is known all things that take place in heaven and upon the earth. Thou art the Almighty One who speaks and it is, who commands and it stands firm. Thou art right and just in all thy ways, and thou never maketh an error with all the inhabitants of this earth. Lord, may it please thee to grant unto us in this evening the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and that our eyes are lifted up unto thee, the God of gods. Lord, unto whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and outside of thee there is no help. Outside of thee is no conversion. Outside of thee is no grace. Thou alone doth give what is needed in the soul of each one. And then to realize that if we are never born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Lord, may it please Thee to help us and to grant yet that our eyes are lifted up unto Thee. We are but unworthy creatures of the dust, and our lives are only to be found in Thee. There is no expectation in the creature. There is no hope in our own ways, but there is only hope in that one mediator who has paid the price to redeem His people, and that people shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Lord, may it please Thee then to gather with us in the evening of this Thy holy day, and that we may yet see and feel Thy power, Thy grace, and that Thy righteousness, all that we may be clothed with that righteousness. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, and all that dwells in us, that is not enough for salvation. But there is hope in Thee alone, and in Thee, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, let it not be evil in Thy most holy sight that sinful lips of the dust draw nigh unto Thee in the evening of this Thy Sabbath day. O come yet over the hills of our sins, the mountains of our iniquities. Shed forth Thy Thy love and Thy favor upon us, and grant that we may look to Thee, the living God. Lord, Thou never maketh an error with all the inhabitants of this earth. Thou didst come upon this earth, and that to satisfy the justice of God, that to redeem a sinner and to draw them with the cords of Thy eternal love. O gracious and eternal God, visit the soul of Thy turtle dove, and grant unto them thine eye to look unto Thee alone, the living God. Lord, let not any take pleasure in themselves. Let not any rest on a false foundation. There is only one foundation, and that is that rock, and that rock is Christ. If we build upon our own righteousness, then it all will end in vain. If we try to rest on a false foundation of man, then it shall be lost forever. But if we may be given to rest and to build on Christ the solid rock, then there is hope for the greatest of sinners to an endless eternity. Lord, come yet and dwell among us. How can we approach Thee, the living God? How can we go forward without Thy countenance? How can we pray except it be given us from above? Thy disciples had even asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And that is a lesson that all Thy people, or that they ask of Thee, that Thou would instruct them, teach them, guide them, uphold them, and then that they may receive it out of Thy hand. Lord, the times are evil in which we live. Then The Christianity is not known among most of the people of this world. Then they go forth, man goes forth, as if there is no God, as if there is no judgment. The times of evil are upon us, and the nations are building false gods, false images. The nations are building upon the things of time and sense. Then evil is becoming greater and greater, and the times of today are so taken up with all the foolishness of the day. The rulers of the nation go forward in a godless way. And Lord, where do we find a broken heart and a contrite spirit that is seeking Thee, the living God? Where do we find those that are hidden in their inner chamber, that are begging that Thou would yet come over the hills and sin, and that Thou would give them a token for good? Lord, wilt Thou arise? The times are as Sodom and Gomorrah. The times are filled with the festivities of this world, and then they seek their own way. Gracious and eternal God, give yet the revival, give yet the turning unto Thee, give yet that sin becomes sin, and God becomes God. Oh, remember then each one, and grant that it may be the set time of Zion. Lord, remember the sick and the afflicted. Thou knowest the young woman in the hospital in Calgary with migraine headaches. And as we know of last, the doctors have not found a solution for her. But Lord, Thou art the great physician, and Thou knowest the end from the beginning. Oh, wilt Thou use these means and touch her heart, that there may be true repentance, and that there is a longing in her heart to Thee, the living God. Remember also the infant, the newborn child that is in the hospital. Lord, Thou knowest the situation. Thou knowest the needs in that family. Oh, wilt Thou give yet also a solution there? Thou knowest the needs and the cares. Help, Lord, and give that there is prayer in the midst of us for one another, and that Thy holy and Thy righteous name, that it may be honored and glorified. Wilt Thou remember others bound to their homes who cannot come up to Thy house as otherwise? Be nigh yet unto them. Grant unto them a token from above, and give healing where healing is needed. Also her who is in her home and has received tidings of what she has in a sickness. Lord, we lay them all before Thee, Thou who art the great physician, and Thou who alone can heal in time of need. Remember then each one. Remember those who hope to have their birthday today and in this week. Oh, wilt Thou be nigh unto them and help them. Then the years increase, time goes by, and the time will arrive that we need to exchange time with eternity. Lord, be mindful then of each one, and look upon them in Thy mercy and in Thy grace. Remember then also, Lord, the needs of widows and widowers, those who travel their pathway of life alone. Lord, be nigh unto them, care for them, supply unto them what they need day by day. Oh, the needs are many when we think of the congregation. and all the needs that take place day after day. Help parents bringing up their children, that it may be done in nurture and the fear of the Lord, and that parents may feel the great responsibility to train their children according to Thy holy word. Lord, of ourselves we cannot do it. Help them, care for them, be mindful of them, and give to the boys and girls, the young people, the fear of the Lord, and that their eyes are lifted up unto Thee, the living God. Lord, the needs then in families, individuals, can be many, but there is not anything too much for Thee alone. Bless our school. Thou knowest the needs there. Lord, wilt Thou be mindful of the school board, care for them, give them wisdom day by day, and give that decisions are made and that Thy favor may rest upon it. In this week, with the annual school meeting, Lord, give wisdom to those who lead it, and give that Thou would bless all the means in the school and in what is to take place, that Thou would be in the midst of them and that Thou would care for them. Lord, that Thou may be the chairman of the school board, of the consistory, of the needs and the cares that come forth day by day. Oh, help them in all of these ways. We think, Lord, of the labors done on mission fields in different places. Oh, wilt Thou crown it with Thy loving kindness and with Thy tender mercies. Remember the labors in Bolivia. Lord, Thou knowest all things. Grant that Thy blessing may rest upon all the labors done there. Be with the mission board in their deliberations, and grant that it all may be done with an eye upon Thee. Lord, the labors on the mission fields, that it is Thy cause and it is Thy doing. Oh, give then that Thy blessing may rest upon all the labors. Help also the minister in Bolivia. Give him what he needs day by day. Help all Thy servants, Lord. Grant unto them what they need, and that they are begging that Thou would give them a token from above. Lord, there are so many souls going on their own account. But, O, wilt Thou be nigh unto all of Thy servants, called and anointed by Thee. Give unto them light, wisdom, and understanding to bring forth law and gospel, well and woe. And let none, Lord, go their own way. Remember the whole congregation. Lord, help each member of the congregation here, those who are meeting in Noble Ford. Help the brother in reading a sermon there tonight, and make it a blessing unto the people. Lord, give then that we may see that all things are in Thy hand. Our theological school, be with the students, help them day by day, and crown the efforts with Thy loving kindness and Thy tender mercies. Go with us then in this evening hour. Look upon us in Thy mercy, and crown yet Thy own word with Thy blessing and Thy favor. Give yet Thy servant here tonight strength and ability to bring forth Thy word, that it may be blessed for this one or that one, that Thy Zion may be touched in their hearts, and that there may be a prayer to pray, a sigh to sigh, and that if that not is not left, oh, then that they may look up unto Him who is the author and the finisher of faith. Help us then, Lord, in all of our ways. Bless each one gathered together and those who have not had a desire to come tonight. Lord, stop them before it is forever too late, because today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the time that the voice of Thy Word goes forth. Lord, come then, dwell among us, shed forth Thy blessing upon us, and be with us. Bring us through this hour. Every time is a new time, and we look to Thee, that there may be yet Aaron's and hers in the midst of the congregation. Forgive every sin. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue our worship with the singing of Psalter 240. Psalter 240, Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to Thee. And then 3, 4, and 5. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 240. Dear congregation, we have just sung out of Psalter 240, Psalm 88, and that last stanza, friend and lover are departed. Dark and lonely is my way. Lord, be thou my friend and helper. There you have a prayer that is flowing from the psalmist unto the Lord, that the Lord would be mindful of him and that the Lord would care for him. Then we find words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 6, but it says there very clearly, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There we have one entering into their inner chamber, asking that the Lord would be mindful of them or of him, and that the Lord would help in time of need. By nature, congregation, then we do not have an inner chamber. By nature, we do not have a place that we go to pour out our heart before the Lord. But when we read in Scripture what it has to say, then there is still a place that they may go. Psalm 65 we have heard of tonight. And then it says in verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Does that mean every man, woman, and child here upon the earth? No, that does not mean that. But it says here, that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. They shall come from the Jews and from the Gentiles. They shall come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And we can read about it in such a way, but then the question reverts back to ourselves. Do I have a place where I pour out my heart unto the Lord? Do I have a place that is secret, an inner chamber, that you may call upon the God of heaven and of earth, and that you may call on God that he will help in time of need? The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he hears the needy when they cry. He saves their soul when death draws nigh. Thus, there is a prayer-giving God, there's a prayer-answering God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Tonight, we wish to consider our Heidelberg Catechism, and we will begin with the last part of prayer. Lord's Day 45, page 81, page 81 in the back of the Psalter of Lord's Day 45, question 116, 17, 18, and 19. Question 116, why is prayer necessary for Christians? And the answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and the Holy Spirit to those only who with the sincere desire continually ask them of Him and are thankful for Him. Question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? The answer, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He had commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Question 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? And the answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. Question 119. What are the words of that prayer? And the answer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thus far, the words of our catechism. Tonight, as the first part of the Heidelberg Catechism on Prayer, then we wish to speak of the word prayer. We see three thoughts in our Heidelberg Catechism. First of all, the necessity of prayer. Secondly, the important parts of prayer. And thirdly, what we may ask in prayer and the words. Thus, the subject is prayer. First, the necessity. Secondly, the importance. And thirdly, what we may ask for in prayer. We come now to the last part of our Heidelberg Catechism. When we considered the Catechism from the beginning to the end, then our Catechism, as we all know, speaks of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Those three words constitute the total of our Heidelberg Catechism, but those three parts constitute what is necessary in the work of salvation. Prayer is part of gratitude that is found here, and it is of great necessity that we think of prayer in the right way. When we consider that it is of gratitude, then we can look in the book of Romans, and there in Romans 8, verses 26 and 7, it says, Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There, very concisely, it speaks of prayer that the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Thus, Paul had written that in Romans 8, but then we find also that in Ecclesiastes 12, that we is written for fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Thus we find it from the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture, when it speaks about prayer, says that very clearly, fear God. By nature, we are not doing that. By nature, we are seeking honor and glory from man. But it says, fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Thus, prayer is part of that duty. Prayer is something that is very important. When we think of prayer, parents teach their little ones to pray at the table when you eat. Some will say, well, I will start at 5 years old, 6 years old. No. They start with little infants, and they will learn as they go along. I've seen it in the weeks that we were gone in different homes, that they teach their little ones to fold their hands, close their eyes, as an infant, a little one. And so they learn externally that prayer is of great importance for the food, before going to bed, arising in the morning, then we have to lay the things before the Lord. Thus, we look here at our catechism, and then when it says here, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Now think of that. Think of those words. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? So the question comes up, who are Christians? We see that here in the catechism. Here it says, why is prayer necessary? Well, when we think of it, then it says the word Christians here. Who are Christians? How can we see that congregation? The word Christian can be taken in a broad sense and can be taken in a narrow sense. When we think of the word Christian or the Christendom in the world, then it is a people that possibly read God's holy word and believe that there is a triune God. Now, just that short word of what a Christian is, that they will just acknowledge that there's a God in heaven and that His word is the true word of God given from above. And to be a Christian in that sense is in the broad way, further away in that, that there are people that say that they are Christians, but they don't want to serve the Lord. They are only by name in Christian. But then take it a step further to believe that God is God and that He is a triune God. Well, that takes it just a bit further. But congregation, that is not what the catechism is talking about. The catechism is talking about John 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Thus we see there that a true Christian is one that is born from God, that is above, and that is taught by the Spirit of God. Of utmost importance to understand it in that way. And then when we think of that further, that it speaks of it, then we read of it in 2 Corinthians, and there he expresses it so clearly in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, that he mentions in this verse here, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what is it talking about there, congregation? It's talking about what I have mentioned over and over and over. That true prayer that is the light shining out of darkness into the darkness of our hearts, and that is done by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit, when it shines within the heart, that gives light to what goes on in the heart, and then a person sees that they are a sinful creature. True Christian, A true Christian is of the body of Christ. It says here, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. The chief part of thankfulness. When we think about those who are true Christians, then we can go to James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And James there is speaking, every good and perfect gift is from God. What is the most important gift that any person can ever receive? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. What is the most important thing one can receive? That is the light of the Spirit in their soul. Without the light, there is no life. Without the light, then there is no coming unto the Lord. Without the light of the Spirit, then there is no true prayer that flows out of the heart unto a triune God. It is the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, that when that Spirit shines, light is revealed in the soul. And that light that is in the soul, that begins to show what? What does that light begin to show in the soul? That I am so converted, that I am so good, and that I am so right. No congregation. That light from heaven shines in the soul. And then I begin to see what I really am. And that light of the Holy Spirit in true prayer that shines within the soul, then I begin to see, I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. That almighty power of a triune God in the heart of a sinner, indispensable, cannot be measured, that how the Lord works within. And then again, we have to say, just in prayer, that is what we find here, that it is the whole duty of man. Not just a little, the whole duty of man. And we find it in Matthew 6 or 7. And when we read it in Matthew 7, then we find it very clearly. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's what Scripture is saying to us. And then it says in verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Thus in such a way, then the Lord opens the heart. And then he comes here, and then he says, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. That is something. Psalm 50, offer unto God thanksgiving, pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. As the Lord teaches a sinner, then every bit of knowledge that is in the soul comes from above. Do you believe that? Every bit of instruction. The disciples, were they converted? The disciples, did they receive that true new birth within their souls? Yes, all of them except Judas Iscariot. Now think of this. Listen close. The disciples walked with Christ. The disciples were taught by Christ. The disciples were led by Christ. And then they say to Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. Have you had that in your soul, congregation? Lord, teach us to pray. The chief part of thankfulness. Prayer is expressing gratitude to God. Prayer, in a true sense, is the confession of sin. Prayer is to lay our needs naturally, spiritually, before an Almighty God. Prayer is made to Him who can answer prayer, who gives yet help in time of need. And thus we find that in prayer is important. What is the extreme importance in prayer? What should we say there? What is so great that we must consider? Shall we go to David, whom we spoke of this morning? Shall we go to Hezekiah? He turned his head to the wall, and that he prayed, that he sighed. Shall we go to one of the prophets that they call upon the name of the Lord? The extreme importance of prayer, then we find that in Matthew 26. Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then that He says, not My will, but Thy will be done. Have you ever come to that place? That you come to such a place, you say, no, Lord, not what I think, not how I go about things, not My will, but Thy will be done. And that we find here in just how He answers. It's the chief part of thankfulness which God requires us of us. And then He goes on, and also, because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful to Him. Thus, when we read that God will. Well, His will. Time and again we use those words, that God's will may be done. Do we really mean it? What if God's will flows opposite of my will? Do I then lay down my weapons? And do I then just agree with what God says and does? As God's will be done, He must give to the sinner, He must give to His creature, also the willingness to accept, Thy will be done. Can that be so easy? No, it's so important of what is said here. And then when He says here, because God will ask His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him. Sincere desires continually. You catch that? What our fathers wrote? Continue. We may ask in prayer once or twice, and then we become tired. But we have to think of what He is saying here. And are thankful for them. Thankful in adversity. Think of that then. If things just don't go our way, can we then lay down all of our weapons and agree with the Lord? Congregation, that also must be given from above. Every little thing in that spiritual warfare, if the Lord doesn't give it, we don't have it. But when the Lord gives it, the more grace God gives in the soul, the more that soul feels unworthy. So unworthy before an holy and a righteous God. Thus the Catechism says continually. So how important is that? Let me use the natural example. Your little children will ask for something. And they keep on continually, they will ask again. And they will ask again. And now to come before the holy countenance of God and to ask continually, Lord, remember me. Lord, help me. Lord, grant unto my soul what I need for time and for eternity. And then it can be so silent. And even if the Lord has given the root of the matter in the heart, and the Lord gives that, they may feel something of that power. Oh, then, yet they still have to be given. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. And then it says in Psalm 27, wait, I say, on the Lord. Thus, we are told in this way to use the means and to go to God with all that is necessary. Thus, he says, who with sincere desires continually ask of them and are thankful for them. Question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer, which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? And then our catechism gives us three. It says, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. So, there's the first part. That we from the heart pray to the one true God who showed Himself in His Word. The Apostle James, he wrote in chapter 4, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And that's what we are. Asking just because we want it better for ourselves. Then when we think of it first, the prayer comes from a heart that's upright. And when we think of that, true prayer is pouring out your heart to the Lord. Oh, maybe one is sitting here saying, but how can I do that? How can I, that I, as I started tonight, that enter into thy closet, thy inner chamber. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That is what prayer is speaking of, congregation. And then to learn, God is God. That His justice will be satisfied, and that He that ye may pour out your heart to Him who is the most majestic of all, and then to do it reverently, respectfully, and to look unto God for His help. When we think of that, learn who God is. Learn that His power is not limited. Learn that His mercy and His goodness is sure. To learn that He is holy and He is just. And He deals with a sinner according to His own word. Then we think of how deeply the woman of Canaan had spoken, Lord, help me. Just a couple words, Lord, help me. It was so short, but it was so true. And it flowed out of the heart of the woman of Canaan. Think of that publican that he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There you have that how important it is to pour out our hearts unto the Lord. Then he says, secondly here, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. That we may rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery. Some people have said, and I hear it yet, oh, you preach too much about sin. You preach too much about what a sinner is. You preach too much that is so dark in the heart of this one or that one. No congregation. I only want to bring law and gospel and what's found in God's holy word. And thus he says that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery. What is constituted there in those words? That when it says, thoroughly know our need and misery, and then to humble ourselves before an Almighty God, then that is known only when the spiritual eyes are opened, congregation. When more light is shining in the soul. And I mentioned it this morning. When God may give more grace in the soul, then sin becomes greater. When God gives more light in the soul, then I am not a small sinner, but then I become the chief of sinners. And God shines forth in the heart in such a way that can be added up in one word of self-knowledge. And when there is knowledge of self, then we have to know something about a knowledge of God. And that knowledge of God that is taught reverently, spiritually, in the heart of His people. And so, then that self-knowledge that is light. Abraham said, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. What is that? What have I said so often here, right from this pulpit? Humbleness, congregation. We need to be brought down. Time and again with our nature, then we are brought up and we think so much of ourselves. But now to come as a humble sinner before God, as a beggar before the Lord, with the cry, Lord, teach me Thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart. That is the lesson given by the Spirit of God in the heart of a sinner. And then they come on such a place that they see unworthy in myself. What a blessed place. That Abraham, the father of the faithful, had used the words dust and ashes. What a blessed place to become nothing, that God may become everything. The disciples were close to the Lord. They were a praying people. Yeah. That's what those disciples were. But when it came to time of His suffering in Gethsemane, when it came to His time of being on the cross, the disciples forsook Him. There is rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. And then it says in John 4, the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thus, may you have the first thought that he has, the second. And then thirdly, he says, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised in us in his word. Certainly will hear his word. Then we see here in that third part that God will hear, but then he mentions here so clearly, as he has promised to us in his word, and that we are unworthy of it, will for the sake of Christ. Our unworthiness, God in Christ Jesus, the only worthiness that is seen here below. And now when we think of it, what it says there, then it takes us even to Acts 9, verse 6. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The unworthiness, we learn, that is an ongoing lesson. It does not stop quickly, no. But then he adds here, will for the sake of Christ our Lord certainly hear our prayer as he hath promised us in his word. When you think of a promise, and that God giving a promise, does the Lord fulfill that promise immediately? And the answer is no. The Lord promised Abraham a son, but he didn't receive a son until in his old age. The Lord comes at his time. And then when we think of a promise, John 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Through the mediator, through that only substitute. John 14:13 says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. That doesn't mean to rattle off a prayer and then say, for Jesus' sake. And you say, well, now that's a prayer. No. And it says in Scripture, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Who is speaking here? Then Christ is speaking to his disciples. And then... then we find in John 15, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then when we think of this here, what it says, but then we come back to Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord. With all thy might, lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I shall direct thy path. Not this I, but the Almighty I, the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And then he says here in question 118, what hath God commanded us to ask of him? But we first will sing from Psalter 168, before the Lord of people waits, to praise thy name in Zion's gates, to thee shall vows be paid. Thou hearer of a suppliant's prayer, to thee in need shall all repair, to seek thy gracious aid. Psalter 168, while your offering is received. Question 119, 118, what hath God commanded us to ask Him? So our fathers here come right to the point, what shall we ask the Lord in prayer? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. When we read this question 118, then what has God commanded us? A very serious question. But then it is for all things, for body and soul. In prayer we may not neglect the needs of the body, but we must never forget the need of our soul. Because when we think of our bodily needs, that is for time, and we think of our spirit. Our spiritual needs, that is for eternity. And now there are temporal blessings that we you can all think of them, the temporal blessings that flow. We need health, we need food and drink and all the necessities of life. But congregation, when we think of temporal blessings, but we are called upon to ask. So he says here, all things necessary for soul and body. It does not say all things I want, all things I just desire by nature, all things that just come and flow day by day, but all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord comprised in that prayer He Himself hath taught us. For the body, then we have to emphasize the word necessary. And then we think of Psalm 121, and that speaks of it so very clearly. But then it says, for not only the body, also the soul, what is necessary for our soul for eternity. Now we come to the last part of our Heidelberg Catechism, and then the need of our soul takes us right back to the beginning of our catechism. What is that only comfort in life and in death? And there it emphasizes the value of the soul. And what an eternal wonder to receive that comfort. What is thy only comfort? Here it says, what is necessary? Temporal things are necessary, but the spiritual things, they are of utmost necessity. And then to think of the soul for eternity, there to consider the power of God's holy word. God's holy word as it comes to us. The power of the Holy Spirit in giving a new life within the soul to make one spiritually alive. We may ask for it, congregation. And then one says yes, but then you also tell us that God had a determined number of people that He had chosen from eternity. Yes, but that lays in Deuteronomy 29, in the secret will of God. We do not know that. Thus we are called upon, Lord, grant me that grace that I need in my soul for eternity. And thus that what is needed to be made alive, to have an opening, to draw nigh to the living God in prayer, to have a broken heart, a contrite spirit, to have humbleness, congregation, and then that soul is given to be upright before the Lord, seeking God's honor and God's glory, and that the Lord would speak unto their soul, I am thy salvation. You cannot buy that on the market of temporal things. You cannot purchase it even with works or with deeds. But when we think of it, to receive that gift that God grants unto His own, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, oh, that we may be taught that by God's Holy Spirit. And then when we think of what it says in, what are the words of that prayer? Well, then that words of that perfect prayer you find in Matthew 6, as it is written in our Psalter. Then it is these parts, the address, the holiness, six petitions in the prayer, three for our natural need, three for our spiritual need, and then to ask with an upright heart. Thus, all things are included in this prayer that Christ gave to His church. When we think of congregation, the beginning of this part of our catechism on prayer, and then in question 116, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Does that include you? Does that really include you? Search your heart whether there is the fear of God or not. And then in 117, what are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? There again, He speaks from the heart, rightly to know our need, and all for the sake that God hears and answers prayer. And then in question 118, it speaks about the need of the body and the need of the soul, and that is for time and for eternity. And now, you and I do not have perfect prayers. All prayer, sometimes we can only say it's a stuttering that we have in calling upon the name of the Lord. But the perfect prayer was in Matthew 6. And that prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. If you use that prayer at the table for mealtime, do not rattle it off so fast that no one understands you. It's not proper. But use it reverently. Use it respectfully. And that you are calling upon the God of all grace, that He may come and visit your soul, that He may yet give what we cannot give ourselves, but yet it lays in His hand through His Spirit to apply that good work of grace in the soul, and then that is God all and man nothing. Amen. Lord, we come unto Thee at the end of this hour. Bless the few words of this evening. Lord, we are but a man full of sin, and we need Thy presence and Thy help every time in bringing forth Thy word. O gracious God, wash and cleanse us from all our sins, and grant unto us that living hope that is lodged in the hearts of Thy people. Remember all the whole congregation. Bless them in their daily cares and needs, in their labors from day to day, and give unto them a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, be with us in this week. Care for each one of us. Provide what is needful for time and for eternity. Forgive our sins. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us conclude with Psalter 188. Psalter 188, the stanzas 3 and 4. And I forgot to mention that the Paul magazine is in the foyer in the racks. May all those who seek Thee and make Thee their choice great gladness and blessedness see. May all those who love Thy salvation rejoice and constantly magnify Thee. 188, stanzas 3 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.